passive forms. I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I will praise you in this storm. Remember when I stumbled in the wind, you heard my cry to you and raised me up again. When my strength is almost gone, how can I carry on if I can't find you? But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through. My hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I've cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side. From the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I lift my eyes into the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Now praise you.
Good morning, people of God, and welcome to The Bridge at St. Paul's in Muskego. My name is Nathan Strobel. I am one of the pastors here at St. Paul's, a privilege to be your host at The Bridge, and very happy today to welcome you for two reasons. Number one, I can get rid of my mask for 5 minutes and breathe regular air faster than without my mask, but also, as we are heading into our last Sunday of worship, to welcome you to The Bridge for the last of our series of If Then, if Jesus has risen, if Jesus is alive, then what? And we'll come back and cap that at the end of our announcements. But now for a few housekeeping things as we get rolling today. If you are in need of help in the course of the next coming weeks, days, months yet, as we're going through COVID-19, feel free to reach out to Sally Wallner, who's pictures on the screen along with me. Sally is our community event communicator, primary community connection for us at St. Paul's. And she would be happy to connect you with reaching out and helping folks, but also having us help you as well through an army of people, really, who are ready to help those in need. Today, this afternoon, we have our final food drive to support the Muskego Food Pantry between 1 and 4. Please bring any non-perishable food items that you would like to our campus. Come through under the canopy by the main church due to the wind and rain today. But let us work together again to fill the shelves of the Muskego Food Pantry. In the course of time, if you have prayer requests along the way, please connect with us, contact us at stpaulsmuskego.org. If you have need for pastoral counseling or pastoral help, the pictures of the four pastors and our phone numbers are on the screen and are also available for you at stpaulsmuskego.org. Reach out to us. It comes directly to us via email as well. Pastor Pete continues to come with to us each and every day, pretty much, with a video devotion leading into those who are following him on the footsteps to the empty tomb and from the empty tomb, really, as we go into our world. So tune in to him each and every day for devotional thought. Also connect with us through Facebook and Instagram, the information on the screen. And also, if you are have a heart to support the ministry of St. Paul's and the Bridge, continue to give your offerings to God and to this ministry. Go through our website. You can give online at the website or text to give information there. But if you like the old-fashioned route of an envelope in the U.S. Postal Service, the address is on the website as well. And also then keep following us from week to week. We'll continue recorded traditional worship and live bridge worship throughout the coming weeks as we continue to navigate this coronavirus time. So please know that we are there for you with the Word of God week to week, day to day. Today's speaker for us is Pastor Pete Panitsky. Again, closing out our sermon series, If Then. If Jesus is alive, and today, if Jesus is alive, then we will end well, both our personal lives and the end of this world. Looking forward to his message. Mike Wessendorf leads the band today. Thank you to them for their ongoing work, and they get to have, about a half hour of the next hour without masks, loving their Lord Jesus, loving you, bringing the word. With those thoughts, let us dive into worship, If Then.
And good morning, Bridge Online. It is great to have you guys here. Good to see you all once again. There will be a day when we'll be able to have everybody in a space, in a place. We are working on those plans and how we can do that safely. We actually have a lot of neat technology things that have been happening because of this time. God has really been blessing a lot of things. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the offerings that are making the improvements happen. Those of you guys who know Alex Bennett, part of our church, he's mixing our sound live today. That's one of the big changes that we've made. There's going to be a third camera option down the line in here as well, so that for those of you who can worship with us only online, we are committed to making sure that the virtual church through St. Paul's and the Bridge will continue on. And we'll, in fact, keep getting stronger so that we can encourage you in your family church and in your ministry, in your neighborhood, and in your community. What a grateful thing that we have to be able to do these things. And so we're bringing some musicians back as we get an opportunity to begin to slowly open up. You guys recognize Mr. Mike Krill, and Tony Derelius is over here. Brought the violin back in today. We gave the piano a time off, but Heidi is back in a little bit. We are going to be practicing, again, what we're preaching in terms of staying safe. And so when the day comes, you can come back with confidence. But we're here to be able to worship the Lord. It's great to be able to gather together. But we're here to lift up one name and one name alone, and that's the name of Jesus. It is Jesus who told us in Matthew that we have a Father. Basically said, you know, if you might not know the Father, but if you know me, you know the Father, because the Father and I are one. And then he said something awesome. He said, come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden. I will give you, can you say that out loud at home? I will give you rest. And rest is what he said. And so we're going to begin our time together, our living room to yours, with this song, Come. The lyrics will be with us as well, so feel free to sing along or just use it as a meditation. It's called Come. Come all ye who mourn, to me. I know that we've got people coming in from all over the country, so it may not be raining in your neighborhood, but it's definitely raining in ours quite a bit. This song I did not choose because I saw the forecast or because I'm a meteorologist. I chose it because I thought it fit really well with where we were going today in a message. And I'm not going to talk about it because Pastor Pete's going to be leading in this, but I want you to pay attention to that space where he talks about the God of all grace. There's a lot of things that flood our lives. There's a lot of things over the last 2.5 months that have. But let's be honest. There was so much stuff happening before this. It was just a different stuff for most of everybody. And so what's the flood? Where is it that you're just drowning? Well, we have a God who's a God of all grace, and he's a God who saves. And so I love this song as our message song, to be able to just maybe prepare our hearts to have an honest conversation with God and to listen intently, to be able to say, Lord, the rain is just falling, man. I'm drowning, so lift me up. I'm going to check my tuning, make sure that this sounds good. So that it sounds good. Sounds for you guys as well, but this is called Flood, Jars of Clay, old song. Join and sing with us at home. Rain, rain on my face. Hasn't stopped raining for days. My
world is a flood. Slowly I become one with the mud.
But if I can't swim after 40 days and my mind is crushed by the crashing waves that lift me up so high that I cannot fall, lift me up, whoa. Lift me up
when I'm falling down.
Lift me up
when I'm weak and dying. I need you to hold me,
lift me up,
to keep me from drowning again. Downpour on my soul, splashing through the ocean, I'm losing control. Dark sky all around, can't feel my feet touching the ground.
But if I can't swim after 40 days and my mind is crushed by the crashing waves, lift me up so high that I cannot fall, lift me up, whoa. Lift me up
when I'm falling.
Lift me up,
I'm weak and dying.
Lift me up,
and I need you to hold me.
Lift me up
to keep me from drowning. Storms that drench my eyes and dry the stream still flowing, casting down all waves of sin and guilt that overthrow me.
But if I can't swim after 40 days and my mind is crushed by the crashing waves, lift me up so high that
when I'm falling,
lift me up,
and we can die.
Lift me up,
I need you to hold me.
Lift me up,
to keep me from drowning.
Lift me up,
oh, when I'm falling,
lift me up,
and we can die.
Lift me up,
I need you to hold me.
Good morning. Thanks so much for letting me come on into your living room. I just want to thank a good friend of mine, Ruby. She gave me this egg. And when she gave it to me, I was trying to tell her, you know, Ruby, my kids are your parents' age. They won't play with this egg. But
She insisted that I take it along. And I thank you so much, Ruby, for encouraging me to take this egg as a gift from you. So thank you so much. The reason why I like this egg so much is, to me, it probably pictures how an awful lot of people look at me and other people. They look at our lives and go, looks like you've got it all together. But the reality is, none of us truly have all of our lives together. There are things that fill us with fear and concern, anxiety. In fact, I'm going to read to you in just a moment 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 11, if you want to turn there right now. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 to 11. But there the Apostle Peter talks about, you know, cares or anxieties. And the word for anxiety in Greek is things that divide your mind. So people look at my life, and probably people look at your life and go, looks to me like you've got your life all together. The reality is, there's all kinds of stuff going on in our minds that divide us. For example, I'm pretty concerned. I have anxiety for my wife, so there's this J for Joni, and for each one of my four children, and for their kids as well, and my extended family. You know, I don't want them to get sick. I'm concerned about how things are going in their lives. So my mind very often is divided, filled with anxiety about my family. But that's not all. You know, as a pastor, I'm also concerned about the members of God's family. So I've pictured them by all of these rocks, because last week we talked about God's people are like those stones in our sanctuary. We are all living stones built on the foundation of Christ, our cornerstone. So I'm concerned about our members because, you know, we can't visit them like we normally do. How many of them are sick? How many of them have lost their jobs? So I've got worries and concerns about them. And then, you know, I take seriously our mission statement as a congregation. It's my personal mission statement, too. By every possible means, we bring every person within our area of influence closer to Christ. So I'm also concerned about all of those people who don't know Jesus yet. So you probably can't see these very well, but all I have for little figurines are a living nativity from Peru and some Star Wars characters. But let the Star Wars characters and the living nativity set just be a reminder that I'm also concerned about everybody who doesn't know Jesus. What about all the people who haven't heard about him, don't understand that he's somebody who loves them, who doesn't know that he truly has risen from the dead? So, you know, I've got these things that divide my mind so that, you know, there's all kinds of different ideas going through my head. And I wish I could say that each one of them is carefully distinguished. And I think about this sometimes, and this sometimes, and that sometimes. But the reality is, my life is all kind of jumbled together. And there's lots of times that I have a hard time shutting my mind off because my mind is just filled with all kinds of things, people that I'm worried about. And if that describes you, I think you'll appreciate what the Apostle Peter writes to us about today. I would invite you to turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's begin reading at chapter 5, verse 6. There the Apostle Peter writes, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever." So, the Apostle Peter says that we can cast our cares, all the things that divide our mind, into the mighty hand of our God, because he cares for us. So, the way I'd like to picture that for us is to use one of our offering plates from the sanctuary. I love our offering plates because you probably can't see it. You'll probably have to come in person someday into our sanctuary. A lot of other churches have this too. But on the bottom of our offering plate is an insignia. It looks like IHS. I is for J. What looks like an H is actually an E in Greek, and then an S, the first letters of Jesus' name. It's very often used as a symbol for our Savior. In fact, it's at the center of our cross in the sanctuary as well. And then the offering plate has the red bottom. I love that because it reminds me that this Jesus, who became a human being like us, who suffered like us, who cried out to God like us, that this Jesus offered up his blood for us. And he is not only a human being who died, but he is God himself. And because of that, he is able to carry all the cares and concerns that we have. And so he invites us just to sweep all of those cares and concerns into his mighty hand. And another reason why I like to think about it as offerings is, you know, we gather offerings like this and we put them on the altar in our traditional service. Could I encourage you to take all of the things that divide your mind, your fears and concerns for family and friends and at work, your income, the country, and think of them as an offering that you are placing into the hands of our God, trusting that his mighty hands are able to carry those concerns. Humble yourselves under God's mighty hand. Cast all your cares on him, because he cares for you. And why is it so important for us to do this? Well, the Apostle Paul goes on, and he reminds us that it's the things that very often we are concerned about that the devil uses to tear us apart. Have you ever spent a sleepless night because of something? The devil's tearing you apart, isn't he? So, what did the Apostle Peter say? He said, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." It's very often that the devil uses these things that we are concerned about to lead us to question whether God loves us, whether he is with us or not. Maybe he's our enemy. and he wounds us. Resist him, Peter says. But how? Here I'd like to bring out a couple of things that I bought when I was in Africa. I bought a couple of these lions when I was visiting our brothers and sisters in Christ in Lusaka, a couple of our congregations there in our schools. By the way, if any of you are watching there from Lusaka, God bless you. I pray for you all the time. But I bought these lions because of this text. Because the Apostle Peter says that the devil's like a roaring lion. And I bought two of them because of a story that's over 300 years old. It's a story called Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan. And in this book, John Bunyan writes about a pilgrim like you and me, somebody who is striving to get to the heavenly city, to get to heaven someday. And on the way, the pilgrim looks ahead on the path and he sees two lions on each side of the path. And the porter that is with him reassures the pilgrim because the pilgrim looks ahead and says, I don't want to go any farther. I want to just give up on this path. I won't make it. And the porter says, look carefully. The lions, they're bound. As long as you stay right on the path, the lions can't reach you. Yes, the devil is a roaring lion, wants to use the things that fill us with anxiety and worry to destroy our faith. But we have a safe path right through that danger. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? Resist him, standing firm in the faith. You're not alone as you look ahead and see the lions of worry and fear terrifying you. But he can keep you safe. Resist him. Don't be afraid. Oh. But we don't walk that path perfectly, do we? How often don't we take all of these things that we have cast onto the mighty hand of our God and we start to pick them out and start to say, I better start worrying about these things again. And the devil wounds us because we start to worry again. Is God on our side? Can God handle it? That's why I appreciate that right after the Apostle Peter says, look out for the devil. He's like a roaring lion. He wants to devour you. He begins the next paragraph with the phrase, the God of all grace. The God of all grace. The devil, like a roaring lion, has left a lot of wounds on my soul. But the God we worship is the God of all grace. I don't think that's an accident that the Apostle Peter continued with that phrase, the God of all grace. That as we see how the devil has wounded us, how we've fallen into his paws and he's left scars, guilt and shame. He's the God of all grace. And it's with that thought in mind that I would invite you to just pause right here and let's just admit, what are the wounds that you feel on your heart right now? Could we just confess them to the God of all grace? Now, I'm not going to put words into your mouth or into your heart, but I just want to ask you, what is it that makes you wonder, maybe I am so wounded and scarred that God really doesn't want me? Let's lay it out before God. I'm going to read a confession from the hymnal, from the confession, private confessions part of the hymnal. If you have a hymnal, it's on page 154. And again, I'm not putting words in your mouth. I'm just saying these are words that I'm going to use to come before my God and say, I'm wounded and hurt. And maybe they fit for you too. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and repentant sinner, confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, my words, and my actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I haven't trusted him with my whole heart either. I have not loved others as I should. I am distressed by the sins that trouble me and am deeply sorry for them. And it's my privilege to reassure you that the God we worship is the God of all grace, who has forgiven you, who sent his Son as the atoning sacrifice for all our sins, and who gives us as Christians the privilege of speaking for him and saying to fellow sinners like us, brother, sister, the Savior knew your wounds. But remember, by his wounds, by the Savior's wounds, you are healed. Brothers and sisters, you are forgiven. Now, the text ends then with this marvelous promise that he will keep us strong to the end. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. God promises that he will keep you firm to the end. Now, this is really the overwhelming, overarching theme for today. That if Jesus has risen from the grave, then I will end well. And it's with that thought in mind that I invited my good friend and co-worker, Pastor Keel, to join me in the service in the sanctuary. And right now, he is serving some of my brothers and sisters in Christ communion, so he can't be here. But we did record part of that conversation, and I'd like to share that with you now.
And it's with this whole idea of one of the goals for us as pastors is always to end well, and this is really what this text is all about, that, you know, we can be so worried about so many things and be wounded in so many ways by Satan. And I want us both to end well. And I look up to you as somebody who who has that commitment. So I would just like to ask you, David, God promises to keep you strong, firm, and steadfast. What do you do to hold on to that promise so that by God's grace, you and I both end well?
I would answer in two ways again. The first is just spending time every day with God in His Word. It's not just a thing that we say, but we do it ourselves. Opening and closing every day with prayer. And then also using something different. I use meditations at the end of every day just to close off the day and end well that way. The second answer to my question is that I think it's important that we do outside reading to just Scripture. And as many of you know from my phone calls to you since the pandemic started, I'm a real fan of the Christian author Max Lucado. And in my rereading of one of his books, He Chose the Nails, I just found this neatest quote that we may never understand the reasons behind the actions God takes, but we can always trust God's heart. God has a good heart, a heart of love for us in Christ. Now I've begun to read his most recent book. It's his 40th book, Unshakable Hope. And so I would answer with those two things, just word, prayer, and then also some outside good Christian reading. It's what just keeps me strong that I do end well.
Thank you so much, brother. I really appreciate that. One of the goals for us as pastors.
The reason why I asked David to come and speak was it's a special day for David and I, Pastor Keel. Today is the 38th anniversary of the day that he and I received our first call into ministry. And it's amazing how God has brought us together again after going to school together for a number of years. We've been able to serve here for 22 years together. But I'm just so much appreciate that he and I have this common goal that we end well. Now, we're not saying we're ready to retire. We're getting there. You know, we have a few years left. But that we want to end well together. And I believe that's true not just of a family of co-workers and friends like what David and I are, but also family and friends that you have, that you want to end well. And so, that's why I asked him to just share what it is that helps him stay faithful to the Savior, how he claims that promise that our God will protect us from Satan's attacks and bring us safely home. Now, there's one thing that's been up here the whole time, and I haven't mentioned it yet. It's my phone that I use as a stopwatch. Now, I know that many of you feel that I don't pay any attention to the time when I'm talking to you, but I really do. I really do. But the reason why I have the stopwatch going today is because of the references to time in our text. Did you catch those references? Let me share them with you again. So Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Why does he give us all of these things that we're worried about, that can rob us of our comfort, can rob us even of our faith? He says, humble yourself, trust me. I've got the time. I'm watching the time. At the right time, I'll take care of these things. Trust me that until then, I'm carrying the load. Cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. And then he says that after you have suffered a little while, he will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Why are we surprised when we suffer, when we feel Satan's claws ripping into us? God has warned us it's going to happen that way. But here's the last reference to time that I want to mention. And the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory. You see, ending well is remembering that all the troubles that we have in this life, they're light and momentary. That God knows the time, and that at the right time, he will bring us to the eternal glory in Christ. You see, what God wants for us is not some temporary reprieve from our troubles, not some temporary reprieve from Satan's attacks. What he ultimately wants for you and me is that we end well for eternity. You and I don't have the strength to do it. But to him, to our Savior, be the power forever and ever. Peter knew that Jesus had the power. You see, for Peter, as he was writing to the Christians all over what is today Turkey, there was no question about, is the tomb empty? If Jesus has risen from the grave, then we will end well. There was no question in his mind. He knew the grave was empty. He had seen the power of the risen Christ. And he knew. Jesus told him, you will suffer martyrdom for me. But if Jesus rose from the dead, because Jesus rose from the dead, then Peter could be sure that Jesus had the power to protect him from the anxiety that plagued his mind from Satan's attacks so that he would end well. And because Jesus has risen from the grave, you and I will end well too. Amen. I'd like to close by the way we closed in the sanctuary. You see, Pastor Keel, David, and I, we are good friends. We have enjoyed working together over the years. But what unites us is not simply friendship. What unites us is a common faith that we have with Christians all over the world. And so we ended the message in the sanctuary by confessing together the Apostles' Creed. And I would invite you to join David and me as we join with the Christians across the century and all over the world, confessing the faith of the God who loves us and who will lead us and enable us.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for revealing your incredible grace in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so we just spread out before you all the cares and concerns that are on our hearts. Health concerns, financial concerns, job concerns. And we trust that your mighty hand is able to carry those concerns. Thank you, Father, for just letting us be honest with you and sharing that. And Lord, just pour out your Holy Spirit on each one of us today, because it is so hard to believe that when Satan just keeps throwing these worries and concerns into our hearts and minds. Let your Holy Spirit rest on us, that today we claim again that you can keep us strong, firm, and steadfast to the end. Father, we pray also for so many of our friends right now who are going through some frightening times. I think especially of some of my dear brothers and sisters who are filled with anxiety because of the danger that they face because of COVID-19. Just pray, Lord, that you would not only protect them, but you would give them peace of heart and mind, knowing that you have them in your mighty hand as well. We pray for our nation. We're going through some incredible turmoil here in Wisconsin as we try to figure out what does the world look like past the safer at home, but all over the world we're wondering, Lord, how do we manage this whole pandemic? Give wisdom to each of us as individuals. Give wisdom to our leaders in churches and in government and in businesses, so that we do what is pleasing in your sight, first of all, and also what is loving to the people around us. All this we ask, Lord, in your Savior's marvelous name. And in his name we also pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Lord, I confess find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my sin runs deep, your grace is more, grace is found, is where you are, and where you are, Lord, I am free, holiness is Christ in me. So teach my soul to rise to you. And when temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Oh, Jesus, you're my hope and savior.
What a treat it is to come into your house and now receive the benediction of our Savior. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Pastor Nate is going to say, hey,
yeah, I was going to say, I think I'll just kind of close things out. We're having a little bit of lighting problems. So, hey, good to have you worship with us today. Just a couple of reminders. You know, we are here to serve you at St. Paul's and the Bridge. So if you want to, if you need any help, just contact us, reach out to us, go to our website, and you'll find the contact us form. We also are here to help you in any way. If there's anything that we can do, let us know. And then ultimately, again, thank you so much for helping to support our ministry. It is amazing. A few years ago, we had the theme, a generous God creates generous people with a generous vision. And I see that over and over again during this COVID-19 time. that God is generous to us. He has made us a generous people, and we have a generous vision. We want to keep on sharing this message with as many people as we can. So thank you so much for supporting our ministry. Just go online to stpaulmuskego.org/give, and you'll find ways to give. Now, I'd like to turn the stage back to our wonderful band, and we close out our worship with the last song.
Live TV, right? Awake My Soul. We love singing this song. We don't have Brian Fisher would be with us. Adam's not able to jump in, so some of you guys know where this is going. But, you know, this is just a great way for us to be able to finish. You know, we want to be able to end well, and it's God who's going to make us awake. It's God who's, again, because there's an end game on all of this. It's not just, again, for a little better tomorrow, you know, one less painless day, or one less painful day, one more painless day, one more vacation day. That's not what God is after. It's eternal relationship, and He has won it for us in Christ. So we asked, actually, for the families who are at home, if you guys are still with us for this closing song, take a picture of you and your family shouting this out. If you got kids at home that are dancing to this one, Mike will add a little bit to dance to as we go. But we rejoice with the Lord. And I love this Bible passage. If we show it on screen, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. From our house to your house, we are in God's house. Amen? So we sing this song with great joy. And God will wake us up.
Breathe on me, breath of God. Breathe on me. Breathe on me, breath of God. Breathe on me. I come alive, I'm alive when you breathe on me. Oh, I come alive, I'm alive when you breathe on me. Awake, awake, awake my soul. God, resurrect me soul from death to life for you.
To me.
Speak to me, word of God, speak to me, yeah. Speak to me, word of God, speak to me, yeah. And I come alive, I'm alive when you speak to me. I'm alive, I'm alive when you speak to me. Awake, awake, awake my soul. God, resurrect these bones from death to life to you alone. Awake my soul.
Oh, and then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. So I prophesied as I was commanded. As I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, tendons and flesh appeared on them. Skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And I said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, come from the four winds, O breath. And breathe away, away,
wake my soul. God, resurrect these bones from death to life for you alone. Awake my soul. Awake, awake, awake my soul. God, resurrect these bones from death to life.
Lord God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being with us today as you are every day. Help us to remember to cast our cares and our anxieties. Lord, give us vision of faith to be able to see the narrow road between the lions. When we fall, let us run to you, unashamed, a child to his father. Thank you for being with your family church, the lonely, the sick, the rejoicing. Lord, be with us in the week ahead, that we might be able to gather together in our family churches. And Lord God, for the day when we can gather together and sing the praises together in one place. May your kingdom come, Lord. We ask this for Jesus' sake. And all God's people said, amen, amen. We will see you guys again next week.